haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy.
Oh man, I cannot believe we're back and we're finally working. Everything's on go here. Welcome to the first, well, I guess the 1.5 edition of the BeardNet podcast. This is Pro Matt, and it's good to be back. What can I say? Boys, how does it feel?
You know, I started drinking because I was a little bit nervous about us like restarting and rebooting the show. And then I got like a little too drunk. And then I realized though, like, but you were always too drunk for every show prior to this, so
that's right.
It's good to go. It's just like old time.
Well, Matt, I'm feeling good. I feel like we're firing on all cylinders here. Going to put out a quality podcast, and we're just going to see how things go from there.
You're so corporate now.
Yeah, that's corporate. Yep. Corporate Jordan. That's right.
Jordan, well, we have synergy now.
So here's the thing for all three of you listening in. Thank you to our wives, by the way. This is not the first time we tried to bring BeardNet. I shouldn't even say BeardNet's back, because this is the first actual edition of BeardNet. Welcome back to the BeardNet podcast, folks. After our technical difficulties, we're ready to resume. So I just can't believe it. You know, so 3 weeks ago we tried to bring the show back, and what happens is, my mic doesn't work. So we have everything. The music's all queued up. Jordan and Matt are ready to go. And then I can't get going. I don't know what happens. So these guys just shoot the shit for like 35 minutes. They have no idea what to do. They just sort of do whatever. That show's still available, by the way. I have not deleted that show. So anybody that wants to listen to that show, we can always make that public.
That was actually a fun time.
Yeah, that actually was a pretty fun time, because I spent so long just trying to get everything going. You guys were hilarious that night. I was like,
you could hear us, right, that night?
I could hear you, yeah.
We couldn't hear you. Yeah, we couldn't hear you, exactly.
So I missed a little bit here and there when I was rebooting my computer and trying to figure out what was going on. So I don't know, God knows what you guys said about me. But outside of that, yeah.
That was some pretty messed up stuff.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It was pretty messed up stuff. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome back. We're finally back. BeardNet is sponsored, I think. I think we're still sponsored by the Mod Cabin. We'll have to check on that. Those guys are
always.
Those guys are big now, man. They're a lot bigger than we ever hoped to be. I know, Mick Foley.
I know. I feel very good about it.
Awesome.
Like I saw that and I was like, I feel like a big deal because I'm associated with them. And
right.
Like, now they're associated with, like, I feel like I'm associated with Mick Foley by association. Exactly. So
I'm not gonna lie. I looked for someone to hit the chair. I saw that. I did the OMG 5 exclamation points, and I literally looked around for a motherfucker to swing on.
Still here?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Good. No, because I got a message on my earphones here saying that they were disconnecting me again.
No, I can hear you.
Dicks.
This is fun. You know what? If the first BeardNet episode went any other way, it wouldn't be right. This is us in a nutshell. Unable to properly connect is BeardNet in a nutshell. So here
we it's not just that. It's not just that. But the what the listeners won't know is that we're actually starting 45 minutes late because of the fact that my 5-minute commute home from work took me almost an hour thanks to a police incident, as they're calling it, 5 minutes away from work. So we heard was police incident, police incident, police incident. We're like, what the hell's going on? So as it turns out, there's a guy that was threatening to jump off a highway overpass here, and that shut down the highway. Now, we only have one major highway here in Vancouver because that's the way that they decided they were going to build the roads back in the 1950s. So when that highway's done, everything just gets messed up. So the whole incident, because I heard you guys, I saw you guys asking me, it ended about, I don't know, 40 minutes, 45 minutes before I started driving home. But the traffic was backed up and was congested that bad that it still took me almost an hour.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I literally live on a good day. It takes me 5 to 7 minutes to drive to work.
You know, on a good day, it takes me, I don't know, like 7 to 8 hours to get to work. You know, but that's just me. That's just, you know, hey, you know, everybody's commutes are different. What can I say? You know?
All right. So we very informally discussed topics tonight. So we're going to talk about the UFC ranking process, and then we're going to talk about Jordan's butthole, I think, was one of the topics as well.
Jordan's butthole was a topic.
Yeah, I believe it was. Yeah.
We perused the butthole issue.
And then my topic choice, thank you, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
That's right. And why don't we start there?
I wanted to say.
You came around earlier and you told me that DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince are going back on tour. Now,
a world tour. Don't discount it. It's not just any tour. It's a world tour.
I don't quite understand how that's going to work, because I said to you most of their music was geared
to
what?
Because you're a parent now. Because you're a parent now. So you wouldn't understand.
I just don't understand.
Oh, God, I'll
don't
wait
understand.
For that one.
I was going to work it in, and you fucking softballed it in there. So there it is. Okay, let me. I know what you're going to say, and let me just start off with Will Smith claims, okay, that he has like 30 new tracks like laid down. Okay, that's all I'm saying is we're going to get some classics, like maybe like Nightmare on My Street, all right, things like that. You know, the classics that they got sued like crazy for, and then we're going to get like 30 new tracks. With him and Jazzy Jeff, who apparently was pulled out of, like, you know, a homeless shelter because he hasn't done anything to drop him off the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. But I'm going to go.
He probably hasn't needed to do anything, though.
You know what? What a royalties run. Do either of you know? So if I had a hit, a mid-eight, Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi. What is Bon Jovi getting off of royalties from Living on a Prayer? Like, what is he getting off that? Like, 10 cents a play nationwide on a radio station, maybe?
I think.
Maybe,
the subject, but I think that all depends on the contract.
That's true, but I don't even know. I mean, am I high at 10 cents a play? Is it maybe lower, like 1-2 cents a play, or... You know, could you know, potentially be a lot for a big hit.
Let's who knows Bon Jovi? Let's give him a call.
If I knew Bon Jovi, I wouldn't be slumming with you guys. Okay? I'd be in an Illinois football game right now. Yeah. So.
I believe that the royalties on like. An iTunes purchase, they make something like 70 cents off the dollar, and then Apple gets the other 30 or something like that.
That's not too shabby.
Yeah, I think that's how it works. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe, but I mean, you know, you got to sell a lot of tracks for something like that.
But I mean, so if we're talking about that and we're looking at, you know, there are a couple of albums that Fresh Prince and Jazzy Jeff put out. I mean, I don't know. What do you think? Jazzy Jeff's probably making like at least like 100, 150 a year, probably.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean,
yeah.
more than me. But, you know, he ain't making that Will Smith money. He ain't making that Independence Day money.
Wasn't Jazzy Jeff in on the production part of that? So he probably got money for all the years the reruns aired, I bet.
Oh, was he a producer
on the TV show?
Yeah, I thought he got money off that.
Oh. Well, he was in a lot of episodes, so he'd at least be getting royalties off of the reruns just from being an actor. You know, just from his 5 seconds of show where he got thrown out the front door by Uncle Phil. You know, but I don't know if he was a producer though. He's probably getting bank off of all of those too. You're right, and probably making even more. He's probably doing all right then.
Looks like he's been doing a lot of guest appearances on other people's albums too. So, he's probably making some coin from that too. I don't know.
You want to be in the limelight though. You want to be in the limelight. You know, Will Smith is still like. Famous. Like, you walk down the street and there's Will Smith, like, you run up and you ask Will Smith for a, you know, for, like, a selfie and an autograph or something like that. You see Jazzy Jeff on the street and you're like, oh, man, I remember when that guy was famous. But, like, anyway, back to my McDonald's.
So,
you know,
here's
a cheeseburger, Mr. Jazzy.
Here's how relevant trading card pop culture, here's how relevant Jazzy Jeff is. Jordan, he appeared in the last Americana set, which in a lot of cases is where celebrities go to try and be relevant again.
Yeah, that's an oddball situation because you got some legends in there.
Yeah.
And then you got Kelly Pickler or some weird bullshit like that.
Well,
you'll
always have a few really, really recent, really relevant celebrities like Sylvester Stallone's in that set. Bradley Cooper's in that set. I don't know where you'd put Hulk Hogan, but he's in that set. And then you got the other side of things, you know, the sitcom stars of the 1980s and the early 1990s and DJ Jazzy Jeff and things like that. By the way, in case you were wondering, Jazzy Jeff was on 47 episodes of The Fresh Prince, 47 of the 148 episodes.
Yeah,
so about a third. Well, a quarter, 25% or so. Okay, that's not bad. All right. You know.
So let me throw out this piece of Fresh Prince trivia for you. For the 148 episodes out there, how many people actually appeared on all 148 of them?
Two.
Hold on. Let me think. I'm gonna go with. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to say two. I'm going to say Will and Carlton appeared in every episode.
Apparently, well, according to IMDb, the source of all things movie and TV, six of them did. Will,
yeah.
Will
the whole
Phil,
major family,
Carlton,
so like Uncle
Hillary.
Phil.
Yeah, all the banks except for the mom, because there were two moms. And
yeah,
Jeffrey.
Yeah, the two switched halfway through. And you know why the mom switched? Because the original mom basically tried to like real life mom Will Smith and like be, you know, in charge of shit, and Will Smith was like, "This is my show, bitch," late, and just booted her and hired a chick that was more friendly to the way he wanted to run the show. So
is that what happened?
You know,
I thought the other one's contract didn't renew because she was pregnant or something like that.
Well, what I had always heard was that the first one and Will Smith just essentially did not get along. And, you know, and so Will Smith, as an executive producer at that point in time, was just like, you know what? What you said, her contract's up. Don't renew it. And let's just bring in a new mom. And, you know, the show's about me anyway. No one's going to notice. Let's roll. So
let's check the trivia section of IMDb to see what they have to say.
I like that we're doing this live. We did no homework in anything we were going to talk about. We were just like, let's have a few drinks. Let's, you know, some of us are in Oregon, so we're doing other things, you know, legally, you know, as it were.
Not me.
And,
not me. P-test me anytime. Clean as a whistle. Clean as a whistle.
This was why, hang on. So, all right, so one person backs up my theory. And says she was fired at the end of the season because she was pregnant. And since she had a baby on the show, there's no way her pregnancy could be worked into the show. Person right underneath it says, I heard that her and Will Smith never got along.
Aha.
Well, I imagine that they could have worked around the pregnancy issue. Because, I mean, hell, it's Hollywood after all. I imagine they could have worked around the pregnancy issue, but she was beefing with Willie Will.
This is Hollywood in the 90s. You know, we forget it's only 20 years ago, but, you know, a lot of shit's changed in 20 years. Neither of those theories would surprise me, though, to be honest with you.
I will decide it right now. What's the username of the one who said she was pregnant?
Just go to Janet Hubert's name on IMDb and look for a thread set up by...
Aren't you there right now?
Yeah.
The username of the person who said it?
Okay.
Don't make us type shit.
One that
there.
Said she was pregnant. UMALYNE 39. This is dating all the way back to 2006.
What's the username? What's the username of the other person?
They said they were beefing.
AIPITT03. So IPIT03. This was all set up. This
PP
set up courtesy.
Is all I heard right there.
Porkchop 604 was who started the thread.
I'm
set to get that out there.
Listen to me. If you throw your name up on a user thing or whatever, you go on Porkchop. You got my vote.
Listen, all right. I just have to be honest. I'm glad that anybody backed me up because as I was saying what I would say, I legitimately thought back in the back of my little drunken brain, I was like, am I thinking of the Cosby Show? Because the mom switched out on the Cosby Show too, and I thought that there was a beef between her and Bill Cosby, and I might be getting the two shows confused. I hope I'm right. I'm going to double down and go for it.
You're right on the Fresh Prince. You're right on the Fresh Prince thing, but you're wrong on the Cosby thing. The same mom that was on the Cosby Show was there the whole time.
Felicia Rashad was the same mom the whole time?
Felicia Rashad was the same mom the whole time. You're thinking of Lisa Bonet, who was Cosby's daughter, and Cosby objected to the less than
whole. She got wrote off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
why
the Cosby
Show mom doesn't change. Okay, so I did the right thing then. I made the mistake in the correct direction.
Hang on.
Mom.
Hmm?
I need to know if Pro-Matt said mom or if he said mum.
I sort of go in between both. It's whatever comes out of my mouth at the time works for me.
I think the important thing, the takeaway from all of this is...
You know what you're thinking of, though, Matt. I just realized...
Jazzy Jeff. What?
Yes.
What? Go ahead.
When Cosby had his second show in the 90s, I don't think he had kids, but the first wife that he hired for the show was fired because they didn't have synergy, going back to the fact that we're all corporate now.
Okay.
And then he brought back Felicia Rashad.
I'm calling she had a no-rape clause in her contract.
I ain't drinking that. I ain't drinking that.
She said, no thanks, I'm not thirsty. And the old cause.
He's like, eat my jello pudding. Eat my jello pudding, and it's great, and it tastes delicious. And she was like, I heard about you, motherfucker. You better bring Felicia Rashad back up in this bitch.
Rape is nothing to joke about.
I knew it happened
but in this situation,
at some point in time, but, you know, yeah. No, it's fine. I mean, if you can't make a joke about Bill Cosby raping somebody, you're not an American or a Canadian.
Yeah.
You're not a North American. We'll blanket that shit. You're not a North American. So,
you're not
anyway.
My thoughts on
again,
what
I was
going to say. Fresh Prince? Yeah.
Yeah, Fresh Prince, Jazzy Jeff, back on tour. That's the key. That's the important thing.
Okay,
I will pay at least $11 for this ticket. At least.
All right. So
maybe
the next
12,
question, Matt. The next question is, when is this tour happening?
They're saying 2016 right now, sometime, but they haven't given specific dates. It's just he was on an interview recently, and he said, you know, I want to go out on a world tour, and you know, I got 30 songs in the can, and I want to go back out with Jazzy Jeff. And he was, I haven't done music in 10 years, is what he said. And I really miss it. It was my original passion. It's what I really love to do. And Jazzy Jeff was the first person, that, you know, really that I made it with. And so I want to go out on a world tour, and we're gonna put this all together. So 2016, supposedly, hopefully they come somewhere near me, and you know, they'll get my $11. So.
Is this supposed to be – okay, so I guess my question is, like, is this supposed to be a stadium world tour, or are they touring nightclubs and stuff? Because if you look at, like, Boyz II Men or Vanilla Ice and all these other guys, they tend to just play clubs, right?
I get the impression that it's a stadium world tour, but at the same time, I would put out there that I think that Will Smith is bigger right now, you know, than either of those two acts. Because there are some other acts that aren't very big that are still doing stadium tours, you know, that I think are even smaller than Will Smith would be right now, that are still doing stadium tours, you know, like Kid, and they were on tour with like Warrant or Poison or something. Like, Poison is still doing stadium tours. If Poison is still doing stadium tours, Will Smith can still do a stadium tour with Jazzy Jeff, especially just from the nostalgia factor alone. So
yeah, but at the same time, are there 20,000 people per city that actually want to go see them in a stadium? You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
just because he's bigger as an actor now, do those same fans actually want to go see him in a stadium? Like, you know, if that's the case.
Well, now you're talking about what's a stadium tour. I do stadium tours with Bellator, and I don't sell 20,000 tickets.
But I think the difference is Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff will do stadium tours because they're not going to be out on the road for a year. They're going to go to New York. They're going to go to L.A. They're going to go to
that's
big
a good
cities.
Point. Yep.
They don't – I
that
mean,
is
Will
a good
Smith
point.
Is – Will Smith is making it rain, so he's just going to do big venues because he can. He's not doing it because he needs it to eat.
Right.
Yeah, so we say Will Smith, you know, a normal stadium tour might be like 50 days. Will Smith might only do like 18 or 20, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
People,
yeah.
You know, he creates demand, essentially. I see Jordan's got this business shit down, you know.
I know, man.
I don't know if the people at home realize this, but our little Jordan sold out on us. He used to be the OG.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's a total sellout. He's a total sellout for that corporate paycheck, and now he's got it all down to a science.
You bet your ass. I would sell out again every day for the rest of my life, and even after I'm dead.
What was the Nelly lyric from the late 90s, early 2000s? I done sold out before and recomped the same night. That's right. Like, that's our Jordan. You can sell out and just, like, re-up again the same night and just sell out again tomorrow.
You know,
that's how you do it.
That's the thing. I go have a nice corporate job. I'm still blue collar as a motherfucker. I'll work out some guys. But I just fit. You get that corporate paycheck. And the thing that a lot of people don't understand is I get a corporate paycheck. And then I come home to a trailer park. Nothing against trailer parks. This is pretty much where I'm at and where I'm comfortable. But the other people in my corporate environment, it's like I walk, I don't know, 100 feet, and I'm standing in $300,000 houses and people that, you know, don't hit their wives and they don't have to worry about dogs getting loose and they don't have to worry about people camping in their backyard. And it's like the amount of domestic violence that goes on around here and drugs is just insane. But literally, like, when I want to take my family for a nice walk, we go walk in the nice neighborhoods because we like seeing that stuff. So if in order for me to get out of the domestic violence, meth, transient, hobos living in RVs, trailer park, I got to sell out? Fuck. Done.
You know,
so,
and I've told
Matt,
you before, Jordan. Oh no, go ahead. You're right. I was about to go on a tangent that we don't need to go down. I feel like
I'm circling back just to give you the lyric that you're looking for. The lyric is: I hear him crying, you go and sell out. You damn right. I done sold out before and recomp the same night. Straight hop the next flight, too icy for sunlight. Dunkin' without Sprite. Yeah, you heard me, dirty. So this is Midwest Swing from Nelly featuring great rhyming. Like right, night, sunlight, and dirty. I don't know how I've never heard this song before, so I don't know how he found a way to rhyme sunlight and dirty, but if he found a way, then he found a way. That's why he was making all the money 15 years ago.
I have a Nelly story. You know, not many people do, because where is Nelly today, right?
Well, Nelly's your boy, though, because he's from St. Louis.
from the Lou, right? And that's kind of how the story works around. I was a lowly little nurse in an operating room, and one of the other nurses in the operating room was married to a very, very rich lawyer in Lake St. Louis, which is where the rich of the rich in St. Louis live, is out in Lake St. Louis. And so they say, would you and your young wife mind house-sitting for us, just watching our dog and just making sure nobody breaks into our shit? Because rich people can afford that. You know, I just set the alarm and cross my fingers. So rich people actually hire people to live in their houses when they're not there. You know, so we're out there, and I'm like, is there anything I need to know? And this woman goes, well, you know, the person next door doesn't like to be bothered. And I was like, well, I wasn't planning on it, but who is it next to? Who is it, somebody I know? And she goes, it's Nelly. It's Nelly, the musician, Nelly. And I was like, you're fucking kidding me. And she goes, no, it's Nelly. And so I'm like, okay, I'm not going to bother Nelly. And so the next day, AJ and I are out in the backyard, and we're just kind of sitting there because, you know, it's a nicer backyard than I've ever been in. And who fucking rolled by on a goddamn boat? But fucking Nelly about to dock up to his shit next door, and he just waves at me like, oh, if this dude's in the neighborhood, he must be cool. And he waves at me like I'm his next door neighbor, and I'm like, hey, you know, fucking, and, you know, and at the same time, I'm like, oh, God, fucking Nelly just fucking waved at me, but we were told not to bother Nelly, so I'm not sure, like, you know, what should I do right now? And AJ's like, just be cool. You know, it's just like, just wave and move on. And so, you know, that was my brush with fame. That was my brush with Nelly. He waved at me from a boat while I was house-sitting for a rich person.
That's a coincidence, because that's the exact same story of when I first met you.
Did I wave at you while I was house sitting for somebody?
I think you gave me the finger cage side, but you know, creative license.
You know, that's possible.
Yeah.
You know, the only person I normally give the finger to cage side is Dave Rickles, but that's because he gets drunk after his fight, and he sits there and he screams in my ear. I don't know if any people know that, but he fought once. About a second or third fight on some card, and it was during the main event. I was sitting there, and Dave Rickles had won, and he had gotten dressed and come out and sat in the VIP section. His seat is actually right behind mine, and the whole time I'm trying to concentrate on this fucking title fight, I hear Dave Rickles behind me going, Matt, 5-pound cheesesteak. 5-pound cheesesteak. That's what he just kept screaming in my ear. 5-pound cheesesteak. And apparently he was drunk and hungry, you know, celebrating his win already, and he was inviting me to go get a 5-pound cheesesteak in town with him, but he couldn't wait to tell me until after this title fight was over, and he kept screaming in my ear to acknowledge him, yes, Dave, I will go with you and get a 5-pound cheesesteak as soon as this fight is over. We're going to have to wait a few minutes.
That sounds like something I want to be involved in.
Did he not eat the whole thing?
Me too. Who, five, Dave?
Yeah.
Dave ate the whole fucking thing.
The first time we had Dave on the show. Yeah, the first time we had Dave on the show, or the second time, I'm sorry, because I wasn't here the first time. The second time, we were talking about having a cheesesteak eat-off, and I told him I was only going to finish half, and he goes, oh, that's all right, I think I'll finish the rest of it, so.
You know, I went to an all-you-can-eat sushi place with that guy one time, and he ate me under the table. I mean, I'm kind of a fatty, and so I expected to, like if there was one contest that Dave Rickles and I were going to get into, it was going to be, you know, eating. And then
yeah.
I didn't even – like, the dude is a fucking animal at everything competitive, including eating. He killed me, so. I don't know how we got there from DJ Jazzy Jeff in the footprint, though.
I don't know, but that's what we do, right? That's what we do. So,
right.
Moving on to the other actual topic we have, the UFC rankings committee, and what?
You know what? I just smelled. I just got a whiff of this the Mod Cabin birch tar soap, and I got to tell you, that smells wonderful. Nice blend of olive oil, coconut oil, castor bean oil.
You know. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to make short mention of the fact that these birch tar essential oils are wonderful for my beard and smell great.
Oh, my God. That was so odd. You're so corporate.
Bet your ass.
Jordan Langley is a presentation of the Mod Cabin, Backwoods Beauty Products for Bearded Men. Find them online at themodcabin.com or on Twitter at themodcabin, proud sponsors of BeardNet.
That's right.
They do have a new scent, though. I thought that's where Jordan was going to go. They do have a new scent that they sent me, and it's fucking honeysuckle, and it's as shit. The honeysuckle is awesome. Like, I legitimately opened a little can of honeysuckle, took a whiff, and I was like, I'm 7 years old in the country again. That's exactly what it fucking smelled like to me. And so, like, I'm not even lying. I use that exclusively in my beard now. Is like somebody even said the other day, like, because I, you know, what I'll do sometimes is I'll use my oils and my beard bombs and shit, and I'll put them down to like where there's like only like 25% or so left, and then I'll give them to other people around me so that they can try them essentially as a sample. And, you know, that's my way of like, you know, I'm like a crack dealer. Like, yeah, here's your free taste, motherfucker, but you're going to pray for that shit later, you know, when you go to the website. But somebody the other day was, I was bragging about the honeysuckle, and they were like, you know, can I get in on that? And I was like, no. All the honeysuckle is mine. You ain't getting shit. If you want that, you're just going to have to take my fucking word for it and go to the website. But you ain't getting no free samples of the honeysuckle because that is my new shit. So, you know, I recommend anybody that grew up anywhere, like, outside of a metro area, if you've ever smelled honeysuckle in your life, get that Mod Cabin honeysuckle. I mean, you transport it back to when you were a little kid, like, got the little, you know, like, the little grass stains on your jeans and shit. Home when the streetlights come on, smell a honeysuckle, maybe a little barbecue, like the Wonder Years. You want to smell like the Wonder Years? That's what I would say. Get the Mod Cabin honeysuckle. That's what you smell like. The Wonder Years, Will Fred Savage and Winnie Cooper.
And
I hope they keep listening to us because we write the best one-liners for them. Can you imagine going to their website and going, now available, honeysuckle. Do you want to smell like the Wonder Years? Buy the honeysuckle or whatever it was you said.
That was some nostalgic shit for me. Like, my wife didn't understand because they don't have much honeysuckle up in Wisconsin where she grew up. But, like, you know, I grew up in Missouri, and it's everywhere. And when I smelled that, I was like, oh. My wife's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, shh, just let it happen. Just let it happen.
I thought you were going to say my wife doesn't understand because they didn't get the Wonder Years in Wisconsin, which I could have understood as well.
That would have been, no, they had Wonder Years. It was Doogie Howser they didn't have. They don't have science anymore. You know.
put on some
anyway,
gun
the UFC rating system.
Yeah, UFC rating. So on Sunday afternoon, I started a little bit of a shitstorm. Just kind of an aside.
You went viral, motherfucker. You got like 7,000 retweets.
All right, so. So Sunday afternoon, I don't know what I was doing, but I happened to stumble upon.
No.
I probably was. I happened to stumble upon this guy's Twitter feed, and I don't know how I found it. It's not relevant anymore. But this guy was shit talking Tyron Woodley, and so I'm looking at this, and the guy is going, you know, bro, as an official ranker, I can't rank you up or whatever he happened to say. And I was like, there is no way that this guy is rating fighters on, you know, the UFC.com rankings panel. So I look at his his profile, and his profile says selected member of the media ranking UFC fighters. And I'm like, yeah, this is Twitter, though. People just make things up all the time, right? So I go to the UFC's website, and I go to the UFC rankings dropdown. For those of you guys who don't know, and I did find out that a lot of people actually didn't know that you can look at who the quote-unquote rankers are and who they've ranked where. I go to the dropdown, and sure enough, this guy's there representing the Armed Forces Network. And kind of like, what? You can't be serious. So I go back through some of his other tweets, And I see him, you know, shit-talking the Diaz brothers and a few other things like that. So I'm like, well, this can't be right. And I'm thinking about all the problems people have with the UFC ranking system and, you know, people talking about how it's a joke and this and that. So I screen cap a couple of his recent, you know, 7 or 8 tweets, and I happened to tweet something out, and let me just see what I tweeted. Still thinking about things wrong with the UFC's rankings. Part of the problem is guys like this get to rank fighters. So originally I thought, okay, well, this is just going to, just like every other one of my tweets, this one's just going to fly under the radar. So about 5 minutes later, you know, our buddy Jerome, Mr. Honky, tweets me and says, oh, can you, I can't believe this. This guy, you can't be serious. I'm like, well, yeah, it says that he's right there. Armed Forces Network. I realize MMA media is not the most professional group of people, you know, just look at me and I guess you guys, if you want to count yourselves as that, but if we all want to count ourselves as that. And then all of a sudden, the next thing I see is Sam DeLune, our pal Sammy, she retweets. And I'm like, oh, well, that could be interesting. That might get another 2 or 3 comments back my way, because she's got, what is it, 120,000 followers or something like that?
Yeah, no. Sam's a powerhouse, you know.
Sam is a powerhouse, yeah. And the next thing that I see is, who's the guy from Bleacher Report? Jeremy Botter tweets me and says, he's done one of those retweet quotes, right? So I'm like, oh, this is interesting. This is kind of picking up. And then some of the other guys get involved. Jack Slack, Guillaume Cruz. Apologies to the rest of you media guys, but I don't remember who else. Mookie Alexander and a few others, right? And so I'm like, wow, this is kind of picking up now, and I'm getting responses back, and I'm thinking, man, this is much bigger of an issue than I was thinking that it was going to be. And then, you know, a few people are coming back and tweeting me back, and so I'm keeping track of just how many impressions there are. And I think by the end of the first night, it was like 40,000 impressions. Now,
wow.
The biggest tweet that I had before that was one that I'd sent to Rowdy Roddy Piper that he retweeted. And it was a picture of my daughter wearing a homemade Rowdy Roddy Piper outfit that I just happened to make and put her in after a swimming lesson. And that one had 45,000 impressions or something like that, and like 30 retweets. The next day, BJPenn.com, also known as the biggest trash fire in all of MMA media, they wrote an article up on it. And they kind of missed the point of what I was trying to say, but I did appreciate the fact that they took the time to reference my quote and sort of, you know, give that a little bit more exposure. Because from there, I think Ben Rothwell got a hold of it, and Ben Rothwell then retweeted and sent me a message back, and then he sent Dave Scholler a message, so I tweeted the two of them, and that got a life of its own from there, which then led to the Bloody Elbow article. And so it's just kind of spiraled out of control. So now it's sitting at like 150 retweets. Everybody's sort of looking into whether this guy's for real, whether it's a stolen identity. 97,000 impressions now on Twitter.
No. Let me stop you right there.
Yeah.
It's not a stolen identity. That dude fucking deleted his account. All right. How many – I don't know if you know this, but did you look – about how many followers did he have? When you looked at him to see if this dude was, like, legit, and you were kind of, like, looking him up.
He had 21.
Like, a dude with, like, 20 – just, like, literally only 21 followers.
Yeah.
Or 2,100.
He had 30.
Or 20.
21. 2-1. No zeros. No decimal points.
Interesting.
Yeah, so
– that's really interesting.
It's screamed, you know what it screamed to me, though? It screamed to me alternate account, because Bloody Elbow's article seems to link to another guy, the same name that says, oh, yeah, this has happened before. The guy just causes trouble for me. But, you know, I'm thinking it was like it might have been an alternate account or something like that. I don't know. But if I go to the UFC ranking site right now, is he still there?
That guy's name is listed. Yeah,
his name is still
listed.
His name's still listed there as part of the Armed Forces Network. And he was allowed to submit recent rankings as well, because he's got Sergio Pettis listed as one of his rankings. And I remember checking on Saturday. He had Ray Borg listed
you know
number
what I
13.
Would,
he's dropped Ray Borg one. Sorry, go ahead.
What I would say is, like, even if this was an alternate account or even a hack account, right, I would maybe say that to look at – I mean, look at all the MMA journalists that are out there. I mean, MMA journalism is – and I don't consider myself one of them, no. Rest. Like, it's not journalism. It's opinion. It's MMA opinion, you know, and I get to write an article about it. And so
yeah.
Whether this guy is who he says he is or not, he was representative of what I see from a lot of the major MMA journalists. You know,
mm-hmm.
I follow a lot of them. They don't follow me back because they're dickheads, you know, so whatever. Maybe that's coloring, you know, my opinion, whatever. You know, I'm only kind of a big deal, but what, you know, whatever. But, you know, what I'm saying is, it's like, it is, at the end of the day, it is opinion. There's no weight given to wins, to losses, to opponent's face. The time off, you know, there's no, you know, my wife is, you know, she calls her, she's a psychologist, but at the end of the day, if you ask my wife what she does, she says that she's more of a statistician than a psychologist. That's the way
mm-hmm.
she feels about herself. And she, you know, I talked to her about this too in the MMA ranking system, and she's like, there's no hard evidence. There's no stats. There's nothing involved other than an opinion. And she's like, and that's just no way to do anything that literally affects somebody's life.
Yeah.
And so we have a bunch of people that, maybe getting hammered and putting their vote in after they were watching UFC, you know, whatever, at Buffalo Wild Wings. And that's affecting someone like Tyron Woodley's, you know, income. And I just don't think that's right.
So here's the thing, is that, you know, it's like I said off the top, MMA media in general, they're not the most professional folks, you know, compared to other sports. I mean, I've been on Media Row a few times now at MMA events, and there have always been at least one or two situations where a guy shows up wearing jeans and like an Affliction shirt. And
exactly.
you cannot get that in any other sport. Like I can't go to represent the media for an NHL game, go up to the press box and see a guy wearing cargo shorts and a Toronto Raptors jersey or something like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Jordan, go ahead. Sorry, we blocked you like twice now. So go ahead.
Well, I got three things to address in this whole deal. It kind of irritates me a little bit, so it might be a little rantish, but I'm intending it to.
Ooh, I love those.
One, the guy with the Twitter account, well, I don't know what his name is, don't really care to, he's about as legit as a starter pistol in a gunfight. No relevance. Two, I had an opportunity to be a media member on a nationally televised fight card. It was televised. They say, hey, media, I am the last son of a bitch you want representing your company. I am no way, shape, or form qualified to give an opinion that should be media based. And the fact that they're handing them out willy nilly tells you something. If I can get into there, then that tells you everything you need to know. Sorry, put in a fresh dip. Three. The ranking systems that they have and the people they have doing them don't make a lick of sense. When you have people like Stipe, who can't get a title fight because he was told he's not popular enough.
That's for a whole nother night, dude. That's a whole different argument.
That's like an hour upon itself.
that's the night that we invite Stipe back onto the show with us for a few beers and just I know what you mean though.
Give me 20 seconds. You're spending all this goddamn time, money, energy. Spending all this time, energy, money making these rankings that don't mean a goddamn horseshit or nothing. when you tell somebody who should be higher up in the rankings, lower in the rankings, doesn't matter, that he's not popular enough to warrant a title fight that he's earned because he doesn't have more Twitter followers or doesn't buy him or doesn't kiss ass or doesn't lick Dana's paint or fucking can't do a backflip and he's not 19. I don't – whatever goddamn reason. That right there –
I feel like you're really, really angry at Northcutt right now.
Oh, no, I'm not angry at him. I just – you know, it's the same formula. Rousey, Connor, the whole nine. Cody. Hi, Cody. They get them, you know, them good looking fellas and girls that the guys want to be and the girls want to be with, and then they push them. That's business. I get that. But the son of a bitch earned a title shot. I have no doubt in my mind he can knock any of them son of the bitches out. And he, I don't know where he stands in the rankings because obviously they don't mean shit. But to tell
Woodley,
him that
what, are you talking about Stipe or Woodley?
I'm talking Stipe. God's honest truth, I don't follow MMA that much. The only time I pay attention is when something pisses me off. So you tell him he doesn't get a title shot no matter what the rankings say because he's not popular enough. What in the shit are the rankings for?
I agree.
I'm done.
No. I don't disagree with you at all. I mean, it hasn't come out if Dana has said that for sure, but, you know, that's what Stipe says, and I'm likely to believe Stipe over Dana for sure any day.
Oh, yeah, dollars
and
donuts, you said it.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's some bullshit. You know, I just did a little thing. You know, I work with, you know, if you want to call me MMA Media because I do this, whatever, but I also, you know, I get invited to do interviews some other time, and, because they ask me, They hope they're going to get some inside info that they don't get, but because I don't really know anything. But, I was doing some shit with Combat Press, and, you know, they asked me some, you know, some shit about that. And, you know what? I just lost my train of thought. I was taking a fucking drink, and I lost my train of thought. And I don't know where I was going with that, so... You know what? That was at the end of the day. That's
Isn't what's his name? Combat Press. Rob Tatum.
Rob Tatum. But you went with the other guy, right? You went with one of your guys that was local. But Rob Tatum's a good dude. Absolutely.
Rob Tatum.
He's the type of person they should have up there.
Rob Tatum. I work mostly with Matt Quiggins because he is. You know, mostly local. And then, you know, there's been Justin Like met up with me at this last show up in San Jose, shit like that. You know, so Combat Press is trying to get out there for sure, but I legitimately forgot where I was going with that.
Since you guys are more familiar with it than me, so are these people picked based off of who they work with or who they work for?
I think that a lot of it does have to do with that now. I think that a lot of it has to do with the places that they're working because,
have to have a name behind you.
There is no way that I can think of, like, this guy has no social media presence, but because he was working for the Armed Forces Network, somehow he was chosen to represent. I mean, I understand there's a relationship between, the UFC and the Armed Forces Networks. That's probably why they extended the invite, but that sort of backfired on them.
Followers.
Yeah.
It should be bigger than 21 followers, you know, and that's what leads me to believe if it is this dude, I kind of agree with you, Pro-Matt, that it's an alternate account and it's maybe, you know, like, you know, it's a throwaway account. It's where he says the shit he really feels, you know, but he doesn't get it. But how many of the rankers, I mean, if we really took the time and Pro-Matt, you just look, how many rankers are there? If you went through with me, give me a ballpark, like how many rankers you think there are?
I'm going to say that there's probably about 25. And of these 25, maybe not even that, might be down to 20. Of the 20, I have literally only heard of maybe about 4 of these guys.
Really?
The only one that I interact with on a regular basis is Mike Johnston from Sportsnet. Just because, again, the Canadian MMA media, it's pretty small, right? So everybody sort of just interacts with each other. Not saying that I'm actually a part of the MMA media, because I haven't written for a site for like 3 years now. So Matt, don't kid yourself and don't associate yourself. But of all the guys that I still stay in touch with, Mike Johnston's the only one. I know like Brian Heminger, because I read his stuff once in a while on MMA Odds Breaker. And I know of Ken Pishna and Jeff Kane from MMAweekly.com, because I've read their stuff in between. But like some of these other guys, like Eddie Papani from KLOZ San Diego. I mean, that is like a sports radio station. David Brown from the Cherokee Scout. Like, is that a local newspaper? I don't fucking know.
Let me ask you this. Do you think they were going for the college football setup? You know, how college football rankings are, you know, kind of set by like major members of like the sports media. Do you think that's what the UFC was going for? They were going for like that college football fucking algorithm sort of thing? Or do you think they were just like, what's the rhyme and reason behind this ranking system, do you guys think?
So I think that they were going for that back when the whole ranking system started. But if you notice, a lot of the major sites are missing here. And so that's like a missing piece. Like, there's nobody from Bleacher Report. There's nobody from Junkie. There's nobody from Bloody Elbow. There are places that are missing. Like, there's nobody ranking here on behalf of TSN. TSN owns the UFC contract in Canada. And there is nobody that's ranking on behalf of TSN. Sportsnet is their competitor who used to have the contract. And that's where Mike Johnston fits in, but there's nobody else. You know, there's no. I'm trying to think of the name of the guy from the TSN guy that I don't know. Anyway,
My next question is, how often do these rates translate into title shots or one versus two, or you know what I mean?
I don't know.
It should always be the number one contender versus the fucking title holder, right? I mean, realistically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the problem is you now
that
have a panel. Yeah, the panel slimmed down so much over the years that you have a panel of like 15 guys that are determining who's the number one or who's the number two, contender for the title. And you don't have any of the major media names backing this thing up either. There's a couple of reasons behind that. Maybe they think it's a conflict of interest because they've been in the MMA media for so long that they've actually made friends with some of these fighters. I mean, MMA is a pretty unique sport in that sense. So that could be one of the reasons they're not there. Could be that, there were rumors that there were certain websites that were being paid off by the UFC for more and more in-depth coverage. That's a possibility as well. Another reason is a lot of, you now see that as a result of this Justin Mayer thing, there were a lot of writers that were coming out and saying, I applied for the rankings and I never heard back. Maybe there's nobody that's handling or that's in charge of the rankings anymore. I don't know. Dave Scholler seemed to dictate and indicate yesterday that, there was somebody that was still in charge and that were looking at things. But, I mean, it seems to me like they need to pump a little bit more lifeblood into this thing, because it seems like there are a lot of writers that are falling off and no longer ranking, but very few that are coming back, if you know what I mean. Like I said, I'm looking around here and I see a lot of names that I've never heard of before.
What if I said this, that the UFC purposely picks people that don't have a strong media and internet presence to be their rankers, so that when they ignore their votes and do whatever they're going to do anyway, there's not that big of a stink about it, because, you know, these people don't have that much power, or like, hey, I didn't vote for that person. How could that possibly be? What would you say if I said that? That the UFC purposely picks people that don't have much clout, so that there can't be that much of a ruckus or complaint whenever the UFC basically, essentially, makes their own ranking.
Okay, well, that's a possibility, but at the same time, these rankings contribute a lot to public perception as well. I don't know if you heard me having or saw me having this discussion with somebody, but the whole thing that sort of gets me in all of this is they're still using these rankings for pay-per-view events. Okay, and they're still using these rankings to sell fights. So the issue here is a guy that's at the bar casually coming in to watch like a Conor McGregor fighter, you know, one of the few like handful of fighters that he actually knows, he might not know about, you know, Donald Cerrone versus Khabib Nurmagomedov, but he'll look at those rankings and go, oh, it's the number two and number three guys that are fighting, mm-hmm. possibly for a shot at number one. That sounds good to me. I'll sit there and I'll watch that. Maybe he doesn't know who either guy is. You know, it's kind of like a little bit of the boxing mentality too, right? Like where if you're watching one of these events on NBC, you might not know who the boxers are, but if you're told, hey, this is the number three and the number four ranked fighters mm-hmm. in the world fighting each other, you don't question who came up with those rankings and where those rankings are coming from. You're sitting in front of your TV going, oh, it's the number three and the number four guys. That sounds good to me because it means that they're very close up to the top. And so a lot of these guys at the bar, they're not questioning that this is a panel of 18 guys worldwide, most of which are from publications that you don't normally see MMA content from. They're looking and they're saying, oh, good, it's the number two and number three guys. Some really professional, amazing panel must have come up with that. Let's roll with that.
Well, you know what I would say to that? Here's how we'll know. Like, here's my foolproof Cutman Matt Marsden method of how we'll know right now. If Northcutt, after fighting a fucking scrub who, like, shouldn't have even been in the UFC, ends up in the top 20 on anybody's ranking, I swear to fucking God, that dude is owned by the UFC. You know what I mean? Because look at the fucking weight behind Northcutt. Oh, my God. Is Dana White taking a selfie? Here's all these fighters taking a selfie. You know who he fought? He fought one of us. That's who fucking Northcutt fought. He fought one of us and knocked him right
George.
The fuck out.
Yeah.
He fought. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm trying to say. He fought a scrub, and he looked really, really, really good doing it. And anybody that ranked him any higher because of beating a piece of fucking shit, and I don't mean any disrespect to that fighter because, hey, man, puncher's chance. Rocky was supposed to be a piece of shit, too, for fucking Apollo Creed. Had a puncher's chance. All right? But essentially, that fight was a setup. I'm going to go ahead and say it. That fight was a setup to make Northcutt look good because he was nice and pretty, and he has nice muscles, and he's a fucking tall guy, and he's a blonde, and he's an easy sell for the UFC. If any fucking MMA media ranks him any fucking higher than, like, 175 off of that fucking fight, I'm immediately going to call your ass out and tell you that you are fucking in the pocket of the UFC. And so that's my patent-pending, non-copywritten, not really patent-pending even, method of telling if a fucking media member is on the take from the UFC, if Northcutt shows up anywhere on the fucking rankings after beating what is essentially a homeless guy off the streets of Albuquerque. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's fucking ridiculous, that fight, and it was ridiculous how many times they played it. I even tweeted about it. I was like, I fucking just turned on, you know, a Coming to America from Netflix, and they somehow worked in the Northcutt fight. That's how ridiculous it was. Like, it fucking showed up everywhere, and it was, like, the equivalent of me, like, taking on, like a seven-year-old. That's what happened. And so, you know what I mean? Like, and that's the problem with the rankings. Like, I feel like a lot of it is hype. You know, these people are, like, told by the UFC, you know, they get these, you know, anybody on the ranking panel, I'm sure, gets a fucking press release the second that somebody who's on the rankings, you know, wins. Or somebody, you know, does something good. Or somebody's having a great training camp. I feel like that there's a lot of influence undue from the UFC. And if I can go even a step further, and I can go conspiracy theory Jordan territory, that's right, I'm going there, aliens.
Yeah.
I feel like this is one of those things that's going to work against the UFC in the antitrust lawsuit. You know, they just lost a couple of injunctions to dismiss. And I think these are the types of things that are going to come out. These are the types of things that are bothering the fighters. Is that the UFC is not only controlling, like, you know, paychecks and fucking fights and, you know, holding fighters hostage, essentially, but we're going to find out that the UFC is also controlling, you know, the rankings and mm-hmm. whether a fighter can get a title shot. And we see that, you know, because of a mistake, because of the bald father himself can't keep his fucking mouth shut to Stipe Miocic and telling him he needs to be more popular. You know, that alone tells me. So there's my conspiracy theory of the fucking week, people. that the UFC is controlling everything. But they really are. Fuck those guys. Seriously.
So
they're ruining my sport.
Yeah.
I got three observations I really quickly need to make. Number one, Sage Northcutt is not in the UFC rankings. So that's good.
Yes.
Number two, if Frank Trevino's listening to this podcast, sorry, but yeah, you kind of are one of us. That's who Sage Northcutt beat. Number three, we're out of time.
Oh, right there.
Yeah.
There's a number four as well. Number four is on a reformatted podcast where we're not supposed to be talking about MMA. We just spent the last half hour talking about MMA.
At the end of the day, it was MMA that brought us together.
It is.
It was MMA that brought us together.
We're creatures of habit. And I know you did say we have 6 minutes left, but I need to gobble up five of those minutes because I have a special song to play for you and Jordan that is hand-selected on the way out. Yes.
I feel sexy right now.
I do, too. I'm going to take off my shirt.
So let's shut this one down, guys. Any last thoughts?
I love all my sponsors, Toughman Training Mask and Mod Cabin. And Virus. And anybody and Hewlett Packard.
Yeah,
my only thought is if you get a chance to sell out, do it. It's awesome.
Well, guys, it's nice doing this with you again. Let's not let this one hang out for another 3 months, eh?
I had
I added the A in there just for you guys.
Canada.
Bag the milk.
Oh, Canada.
Sorry. Oh, okay. Hang on. Bags of milk. Now, is bags of milk not a thing in the States?
Nope. Bags of milk?
Bags.
I mean, they're like plastic carton.
No, up there they sell them in a plastic bag.
Are you
like
fucking kidding me? Is that a real thing?
Okay.
No.
Yes.
Shut the fuck up.
This is a real thing. So Laura just, she asked me about this literally last night. She's like, what is up with the bags of milk? And I'm like, what is not up with the bags of milk? And she goes, is this a real thing? And I said, yeah, it's a real thing. So apparently, I guess Canada is the only country in the world that will sometimes sell milk in bags, like in actual plastic bags.
No. Fuck no. Yeah, what? I mean, how do you keep it from, like, breaking?
How does that work? Like, how does the milk just not spill out? The answer is they have jugs that hold the bags. They're like,
what?
Well, bags of milk. And then you
put
just
it in the fucking jug.
Yeah, I'm gonna reverse engineer this using my college degree. Why not just put it in the jug and save yourself a bag?
What? Are you fucking like? Wait, no, Jordan, Matt's fucking with us right now. I don't think this is real. I think this is his like fake Canadian I am of the week.
I have lied in the many years I've known you guys. I have lied about a few things. I have used creative license on a few things. I am not bullshitting you about bags of milk and the way that they actually work. This is for real.
I'm gonna pretend
I'm gonna be 16 years old right now and just tell you right now, I just can't even.
Well, I guess
that's all I'm gonna say on this show. Can't even.
I guess you, just like the parents in the DJ Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince song, just don't understand.
No matter time, no place. They don't understand that us kids are going to make some mistakes. So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand. I remember one year my mom took me school shopping. It was me, my brother, my mom, my pop, and my little sister all hopped in the car. We headed downtown to the Gallery Mall. My mom started bugging with the clothes she chose. I didn't say nothing at first, I just turned to my nose. She said, what's wrong? This shirt costs $20. I said, Mom, the shirt is plaid with a butterfly collar.
half hour was the same old thing. My mother buying me clothes from 1963, and then she lost her mind and did the ultimate. I asked her for Adidas and she bought me Zips. I said, Mom, what are you doing? You ruined my rep. She said, you're only 16, you don't have a rep yet. I said, Mom, let's put these clothes back, please. She said, no, you go to school to learn, not for a fashion show. I said, this isn't shining, not for a mom. I'm not Belzer, Mom, please put back the bell-bottom Brady Bunch trousers. But if you don't want to, I can live with that. But you gotta put back the double-knit reversible slacks. She wasn't with it, everything stayed the same. Inevitably, the first day of school came. I thought I could get over. I tried to play sick, but my mom said, no, no way, forget it, there was nothing I could do. I tried to relax, I got dressed up in those ancient artifacts. And when I walked into school, it was just as I thought. The kids were cracking up, laughing at the clothes mom bought. And those who weren't laughing still had a ball, cause they were pointing and whispering as I walked down the hall. I got home and told my mom how my day went. She said, if they were laughing, you don't need them, cause they're not good friends. For the next 6 hours, I tried to explain to my mom that I was gonna have to go through this about 200 more times. So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue, parents just don't understand. Okay, here's the situation. My parents went away on a week's vacation, and they left the keys to the brand new Porsche. Play mine? Well, of course not. I'll just take it for a little spin and maybe show it off to a couple of friends. I'll just cruise it around the neighborhood. Well, maybe I should. Yeah, of course I should. Pay attention, here's the thick of the plot. I pulled up to the corner at the end of my block, and that's when I saw this beautiful girly girl walking. I picked up my car phone to perpetrate like I was talking. You should have seen this girl's bodily dimensions. I honked my horn just to get her attention. She said, was that for me? I said, yeah. She said, why? I said, come on and take a ride with a hell of a guy. She said, how do I know you're not sick? You could be some deranged lunatic. I said, come on, Tix. My name is the Prince. Besides, would a lunatic have a Porsche like this? She agreed and we were on our way. She was looking very good, so was I, must say. Word. We hit McDonald's, pulled into the drive. We ordered two Big Macs and two large fries and Cokes. She kicked the shoes off onto the floor. She said, drive fast, speed turns me on. She put her hand on my knee, I put my foot on the gas. We almost got whiplash, I took off so fast. The sunroof was open, the music was high, and this girl's hand was steadily moving up my thigh. She had opened up three buttons on her shirt so far. I guess that's why I didn't notice that police car. We're doing 90 in my mom's new Porsche, and to make this long story short, when the cop pulled me over, I was scared as hell. I said, I don't have a license, but I drive very well, officer. I almost had a heart attack that day. Come to find out the girl was a 12-year-old runaway. I was arrested, the car was impounded. There was no way for me to avoid being grounded. My parents had to come off a vacation to get me. I'd rather be in jail than to have my father hit me. My parents walked in and I got my grip. I said, Mom, Dad, how was your trip? They didn't speak. I said, I want to plead my case. But my father just shoved me in the car by my face. That was a hard ride home. I don't know how I survived it. They took turns. One would beat me while the other one was driving. I can't believe it. I just made a mistake. Well, parents are the same no matter time or place. So to you other kids all across the land, take it from me. Parents just don't understand.